One of the good things about being a preacher is that sometimes you're forced to preach on scriptures that you probably wouldn't preach on. That's not the case today. I have preached on this scripture that I have here many times. And what I have done this time is I went through it as if I had never been through it before. I do that with each scripture, even if I have preached on it many times like I have on this scripture right here. You see, I have to truly believe it. I can't just simply give it to you. I can't simply say, you know what, I'm going to give this. It's a nice message. I found it somewhere. Somebody else preached it. I can preach it. I can imitate somebody else and do that. I could never be an Elmer Gantry. Some of you don't even know who Elmer Gantry was. But anyway, you have to go back and get that movie. So this message is about worry. It seems to be our national pastime. We worry more than we think about sports, the arts, our employment, or just about anything else because we have a means of worrying while we're pursuing all of those other things at the same time. If worry were an Olympic event, do you think you'd make the team? Some of you, I think, would make the team. You would be the Olympic-style worriers. And you're frequently anxious, and you're looking for safety. You're looking for peace. I have looked at our prayer request, and I'm not going to give out any specific prayer request. You know better than that. But I can categorize these things into these areas that often are areas of worry. And they come out like this. And I will give you the way they seem to appear and the number of times that we get them. The number one seems to be health. And that health may not simply be your health, but it might be somebody that you love, their health. The second one comes up is job. It is, can I make the goals? Am I going to keep my job? Can I get another job? I need another job, or whatever there is there. Then we have relationships. Relationships that maybe you're praying for somebody else, or relationships that you are praying for yourself, that they're, you know, for example, will I meet the right person? Do I have the right person? Do they still love me? Do they care about me? Those are the kinds of things that are there. And then we get to finances. I don't have enough money for this. I need the money for such and such. I have a great bill that has come up. I have a medical bill, whatever those bills are. And the last one's addictions. Addictions that what we see here are people that are addicted usually to, and I'm going to say it a lot of times it's not alcohol or, you know, or other kind of drugs. It's prescription drugs that they get addicted to. And these are the kinds of prayer requests that we see. And sometimes they're not for the person. In fact, they're frequently, that last one's not for the person, but it's for somebody else that they know that are addicted to this. So what you worry about, I'm going to say, when I give you that list, is not necessarily what others worry about. You realize when I mentioned some of that, some of you said, you know, I don't worry about that. I mean, you may have even as great a problem as somebody else has, and you still don't worry about it. But you worry about other things. And those things seem to take not only your time, but your efforts and the energy. It just takes the energy right out of you. So let me say a couple of things that are fairly trite because you've heard them before, but they are still worth saying. No one ever worried himself out of a problem. Not ever. You never have started out and saying, you know what? I've got a huge problem. I think if I worry about it more, I'm going to get out of this problem. Nobody worried themselves out of another problem, out of a great problem. And no one ever made things better by worrying about them either. You know, in fact, I have seen many people make things much worse by worrying about them. And so when I read this scripture to you, which we've really already sung, I want these words to really sink into you. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, it's pretty evident to me that these people must have been worriers. And otherwise, he wouldn't need to have written this, would he? These people are worriers. Now, the fact is that I don't think they were atypical. I think they were typical. I think that throughout the ages that we have been warriors. The literal translation of that first phrase there, do not be anxious about anything, is literally not one thing be anxious, not even one thing. See, anxiety is worry. Now, we all know that we're going to go through tribulations. Jesus promised that. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. That's not what worry is. Worry is not realizing that you're going to go through something that's going to be difficult. Worry is placing the fear of a terrible outcome on our backs. It is placing that outcome literally on our own backs. And we simply say, basically, we're going to have to hold ourselves up by this. We're just simply going to have to trudge our way through this. See, worry is believing that there is nothing that can be done about what we think that we are about to face. Worry believes in worrying. For some reason, we want to hold on to worrying as if it is a comfort to us when it is never a comfort to us. In Mark chapter 4, we've got the story of, you know, Jesus is in the boat. You know, that's the one where he's asleep and the boat's being tossed around. You know, I've never been in a boat, but I've been in boats, but that's not what I do. I'm in planes most of the time. I remember one time when we were going over to Singapore and we went over a typhoon in the Far East somewhere. I was completely asleep. You know, I said to my wife when we were getting close to Singapore, I said, that was a pretty nice flight. She said, what? Are you kidding me? I said, it was bouncing around in here. We were flying around. It was scaring the people that fly all the time. The flight attendants were even being scared. And I went, really? I didn't know anything about it. So I can understand Jesus sleeping in that boat. I understand this. But do you realize what they did when they woke Jesus up? They said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Those are the words that they used. You see, the disciples made worry and care as the same thing. For worry ultimately believes God doesn't care. You see, we don't say, well, you know, God, I know you care about this. We think that, see, we think God doesn't care. And when there is not one thing that if you're worried about it, that God doesn't care about. You see, God cares about everything that worries you. God cares about everything that concerns you. And there's not one thing that you can be worried about that God doesn't already care about. And so he says here, to pray. Now understand this. In order for us not to worry about anything, what must we do? We must pray for all your concerns before they become worries. Before they actually become worries, I'm going to begin to pray about this. This is the method of prayer that needs to be followed. There are three words in this passage that could have been translated prayer, but they're not. They're a mixture. I'm going to give you the Greek words, not because you need to know the Greek words, but I want you to see how different the words are. The first word that we have here when he says, you know, I don't think it says pray. It actually says, but everything by prayer. It does say prayer. Is the word prosuke. Prosuke is an attitude of worship. It gives worth to God. It ultimately acknowledges that God is more than able to take care of anything that you are going through or about to go through. God is able to do so. You see, it is ultimately saying this, God loves me. I know that God loves me. God knows my situation. And God has a plan for my situation. And God is able to take me through this situation. That's what this word prosuke means. Now realize, when you have a problem, God is either going to carry you through it or he's going to remove it from you. Those are the two things that God is going to work through. He's going to take you through it, and he's going to or he's going to take you completely out of it. So when they woke Jesus up in the boat, they didn't realize what he could do. They didn't realize that he was able. Remember what they said? Right afterwards, they said, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They never dreamed that they could get him up and he could say, "Peace be still," and that peace word would bring peace to everything around there. The sea became peaceful. The wind became peaceful. There was peace. So when we look at that first word for prayer, your prayer begins with, "God, you are more than able to cause my problem to display your glory. You are more than able. Either you're going to take me through it, and it will be for your glory, or you're going to take me out of it, and it's going to be for your glory." And that's why we sing those words. It's an old Fanny Crosby song. I don't even think it's in the hymnal anymore. You're going to think it's another song. It's not. But it says, "He is able still to deliver thee, and his own right hand thy defense shall be. He is able still to deliver thee. Then be thou not afraid." These are the words that we sing. You know, hear this, folks. We sing words like this because we don't say words to bring truth into existence. We say these words because they bring our faith into existence. And by repeating those, "My God is able still to deliver me. My God is able still to deliver me." What we find here is that in saying those words, we begin to believe what we've just said. So I am therefore, if I have done this, I am able to further cry out to God for my personal needs. The next word that could have been translated prayer is a word, Greek word, diesis. It is a prayer that cries out. It is not the scream of a person that has been pushed off a cliff. Why? Because remember what we just said. My God is able. My God is able. My God is able still to deliver me. But it expresses the depth of the need, nevertheless. It's the cry of Nehemiah when he's before King Artaxerxes. When he says he prays and so he's going to speak to the king, and he knows that the king can grant him his request. He knows the king can deny him his request. He knows, and he prays right there. It says in the scripture, "And I prayed," right there before him. It's the prayer of Hannah when she goes and she doesn't have a child and she's barren, and she begins to pray from her heart. And this is what happens. This is a request that comes right out of our heart. You see, we pray a heart request. A heart request. And that's the word that I use. I don't know if anybody else is going to ever use that. But I think of it as a heart request. We say, "God, this is where my heart is." Now, understand this about a heart request. A heart request also seeks God's will. It's not completely saying, "I want what I want, and I don't care what you want, God." Jesus will pray a heart request in the Garden of Gethsemane. You need to realize that. And it wasn't simply that he's going to do whatever he wants to. So a heart request seeks what God desires. It seeks what God desires. Then the next word, which is not about prayer, is an interesting thing. Do you realize we've got the two words for prayer, and we're going to get to a third word that could be prayer. And this one says we ought to give thanks then. After we have had our time of saying, "God is able. He knows where I am. He loves me. He knows where I am. He has a plan. He's able to execute that plan. I know that. I give out my heart request that is there." It says, now you give thanks. Thanksgiving precedes the actual request being made. Realize when you read that scripture, you haven't even given the ultimate request that you have there. This is a compound word, but in reality, it just means thanksgiving. So I thank God in advance of his will and of what he's going to do because of my previous understanding. What is that? God loves me. God knows my situation. God has a plan. God is able to bring me through this for his glory and my good in every case that I bring up there. And so I am thanking God for who he is rather than what I will receive from him. This is what I'm doing. I'm thanking him. I'm thanking him, oh God. I know that you are the most powerful there is, and there's nothing that stands in your way. I know that, God, you love me, and there's nothing that will stand between you and your love for me. Even your son, you wouldn't even give that up. You know, you gave your son to me. You know, and when we go through all of this, you realize that, you see, when I go through my crisis, my chaos that I'm going in my life, his love didn't change. He loved me just as much now as he did before I had the problem. His knowledge didn't change. His plan didn't change. And his power didn't change. And so I can thank him because I know there is going to be a morning after the night. The night can be dark and terrible, but there will be a morning. And I thank him for the morning that I have not yet seen. Then we have that third word, which could be translated prayer. It is the word aiteo. Aiteo means a request. This is the request that is specifically made. See, prayer needs to include a request that you name, but you never claim it. Do you understand? You don't claim it and say, well, I can just name this and therefore I can just have it. I'm going to just pull it away. And God, you can't hold on to it anymore. That's not what this is. This is a request. Request means I ask you for it, not that I demand it from you. And so we name it. Now, prayer is more than informing God of what you need. I've heard people say that. Well, when I pray, I just tell God what I need. Understand this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, Jesus was talking to him about how the pagans pray. How they use many, many words. They think by their many words, they're going to get what they want. But it says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So when Jesus was teaching his disciples, he said, your Father already knows what you need. He already knows before you ask him. Now, here is what I hear so many people say. Then why should I pray at all? If God already knows what I need, hear me on this. This is incredibly important. Prayer is a means of walking with God. God invites us to join him in what he is doing. And when we pray, our prayer, it changes us. See, prayer changes us into who God wants us to be. You realize when that happens, folks, what we're doing is we're beginning to walk with God. And there's one thing that God wants more than anything else. I think you realize, you say, well, he wants our salvation. Well, he would not have what he wants more than anything else if he didn't have our salvation. But it's what he wants is us to walk with him. And prayer is something that we do in which we walk with him. Have you ever gone through something that was really, really hard? And when you got through it, you thanked him for it? Now, hear what I'm trying to say to you. I'm not saying you thanked him for the bad thing. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm trying to say to you is you went through a very difficult thing. And you prayed and you prayed and you prayed about it. And even though God didn't take you out of it, he walked with you through it, you got closer and closer to God and through the process. And while you will say, I don't want to ever go through that again. I understand that. I wouldn't trade anything in the world for that either. Because of my relationship with God is one in which we walked together. It is in times like this that the prayer does more in our hearts than ever before. Here's what happens. Peace is released when God is present. This is what happens to us. That peace is released. Because why? We are walking with him. We're taking those steps with God. And that peace that comes that we can't ever imagine any other way. You know, it's interesting that, you know, and you take this word apart. When you get to this little bitty preposition here, let your request be made to God in the King James Version, they use the word unto God. It doesn't really make any difference there. But there is a hidden meaning in that little preposition. And that little preposition gives us the leaning toward God was there all the time. You realize God was there all the time. When you made your request, God wasn't somewhere else. He said, God, I got to get your attention. I got to get your attention over here. See, but God is always able to hear your prayer. You are never alone. Remember that story of the disciples in the sinking boat? They didn't know God was with them. That was the story. They didn't know God was with them right then. And maybe that's the crux of our problem. Should we know? I know the world is very deceptive. It distracts us from His presence. It causes us to worry about everything. Worry sells, by the way. You put it on the news and they can sell worry with guilt and with fear and with greed. And it takes us away from the presence of God. Anxiety and worry make us focus on the problem rather than on God. We take that problem and we pull it up here. And we say, where are you, God? I can't see you. Where are you, God? I can't see you. All I can see is my problem. Therefore, we do not seek Him because we don't know He's there. But if we do, and when we do, the result is peace that passes all understanding. It passes understanding not because the problem is necessarily removed, at least not right away, but because I know that the best person that I know has my problem right there. Right there. He doesn't have it, and He's not saying, well, I'll deal with that later. He's got it right there in front of Him. And so that peace comes because I'm walking in the very presence of God, and it comes into our hearts and our minds because that's really where we know peace. See, people sometimes come to peace in their hearts and minds maybe without God, but that peace isn't guarded. That peace is fragile. Because that peace will pass because there's no guard to keep it there. And I'm not a fan of temporary fixes. Gone to my ophthalmologist. He says I have cataracts as well with a few other things. And he just says, let's just give you some glasses. I said, why don't we just fix the problem? Do you understand? I'm not for the temporary fixes. I'd like to go ahead and fix the problem. A guy came over and worked on my air conditioner. He says, you got a capacitor that's going out. It might last 6 months. Well, let's go ahead and replace it. Why are we going to just sit there and wait for the thing to break? Why are we doing that? Why don't we fix the problem? Why don't we fix this problem with worry? Why don't we fix this problem right now? See, who guards this for us? Well, I can't think of anybody better. We are guarded in Christ. We're guarded in Christ. Now, I don't do this very often. And the way the Baptists do it, I'm not going to do it. If you've got a problem or a worry that you'd like to get rid of today, I'm going to have a time of prayer here at the end. Would you just stand where you are? You don't have to come down or anything. Yeah, you're going to stand in front of other people looking at you. So you have no problems. You're willing to just walk with your problems. Okay, thank you. Is anybody else? You got a problem or a worry? We're going to pray. You want to get rid of it? We want to get rid of it. Let's get rid of this. Let's get rid of it today. Okay. Let's pray. Father, these people that are right here, they've got something that is going on in their lives. Maybe it's for somebody else. It may not be for them. But they've got something that is going on, and we want to say right now, Lord, we know that You love them and You love the person that they're praying for. We know that You know what's going on. You know every situation about it. We know, oh God, that You got a plan. You're either going to take them out of it or you're going to take them through it. And we know that You are able. So our heart request, Lord, is is, Lord, ultimately for your will to be done. But our request, Lord, is to come and take this situation off of our backs and let us look and see what you will do that will be wonderful and incredible in your presence. And let the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts, their hearts, and their minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.